Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
You know what? If you sure, if you
every time I do like a little empathy thing, you give me my gold star and say I'm your number one boy. I'm your number one empathy boy.
No, I will give you gold stars.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man another movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm Harrison's number one empathy boy, winner of all the stickers, Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by Papa Teach, master of gold stars, putting an apple on your desk. My co-host and work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you doing?
Tired. How are you?
Not tired.
Hell yeah.
The opposite of you. I took a nap today.
Congrats.
I did very little because I had a dentist's appointment in which my dental, it's a person that actually cleans your teeth called.
The hygienist?
Yeah. She was looking to me in vain hope that her son getting a DMP degree from Kent State would get him some sort of employment in the field. And I could offer nothing.
So as she's cleaning, she's just like, oh, like, did you mention that? Oh, my son goes to Kent State?
Well, she asked what I do for a living. And I told her, and she's like, so you're an accountant? And I was like, I have a film degree. And that's how we got on the topic.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, not really. I wrote a nice Excel formula today, but as close as I get to actual accounting work. Made a nice cross-reference table.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's easier to get the hours filled. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I hope they call me.
I keep it all proprietary. I don't tell any of them it works. So if they lose me, they lose so much infrastructure I've built.
Dude, I so desperately want your work to call me and offer me something, or at least offer me an interview. Like, I want to leave my job.
You should go hang out in the trees.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then when a Davy Tree person comes by, like, jump out, land on them, kill them, skin them, wear their skin, be them.
Walk into the office, ask them?
Now you have a job, yeah.
Except that money wouldn't be going into my account.
That's why you go to their house. Log into their computer, send it to your stuff. Because you have two lives now. Hopefully they live alone. And I don't have a lot of friends, so it's going to be pretty overwhelming. Because like, if they just kind of live alone and don't do anything, then you can just... That's like your work sona is like John Dalton. And then, when you're not at work, you're Harrison.
Sure.
As opposed to like if John Dalton has a wife, well, now you have to have a girlfriend and a wife. And you have to raise those kids. And then you want your own kids. And then it's this whole year living like... they did that all the time in like the 50s.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess maybe it's not that much work.
People got paid more. Like,
really, the decline of America is shown through the fact that men can't have two separate families anymore. Something I've never understood wanting. I can understand, like, I would never do, but I can understand being like, I'm fucking a woman on the side. But have, like two separate families.
Oh, I don't necessarily think they want the second family. I think they get the second family.
Like, how do you split, like, family dinners up? It just...
My guess is you have a type of job where you work late at the office all the time.
And then you have to, like, buy two of everything.
Basically.
Seems like, just walk away from one of them, you know? You just walk away. I'm living proof that if you take a step towards starting a family, you can just leave. There's very little consequences, especially when your business doesn't have a static location.
Yeah?
That would cause a scene, dude. Not out of any, like, sense of righteous indignation, but just for the sheer joy of causing a scene. Just the idea that, like, someone who's working there, who's unaffiliated with any of this personal drama going on in my bloodline, gets to tell, like, they're like, hey, honey, how's work? And it's like, dude, this guy walked in and said to my boss, ding dong, I'm your son? And this whole thing. He's getting a divorce now? Like, I just want to be that in someone's life. I want to be, like, the big crazy thing someone talks about for, like, 10 years.
So your goal is to break up his marriage?
No, I just think that's the natural consequence of what would happen, possibly.
So, okay. So in what you have been
told, wouldn't be good. I don't think it would be good for the marriage.
That he had a kid. So were they married when you were born?
They were probably seeing each other.
How long into seeing each other?
Yeah. They got married 2 years after I was born.
So hypothetically, they could have met after you were born or after he left. He's a piece of shit for leaving. At no point am I saying he's not a piece of shit.
Honestly,
that's
a thing. That's a thing. He needs no forgiveness from me.
Your goal is to forgive him?
No, okay. I'm just saying there's nothing to forgive here. I get that. That's the part I understand. I've always understood, like, I want to raise a kid and leaving. There before the grace of God go, I like that. That's freedom. That's a man making, living his best life. I have nothing against him for that.
I'm just confused what you think the consequences would be of you showing up that he has children who are not significantly, but like more or less significantly younger than you. We're going to assume by his wife.
Yeah.
So the big scandal is that he had a child before he was with his wife.
Well, he was like seeing his wife.
Hypothetically, while he was seeing his wife, yeah. Yes. Which we don't know for fact. He could lie. Like, here's my thing is, if you truly trust someone, which maybe she does, maybe she doesn't, if he said, I swear to you, I did not know about him and we were not together, she probably will believe him. Like, so I just don't get what you get out of this.
I'm not a deep man. People like plump, like plume, like plum, plume. Which one's when you're digging? Is that plum? You plumb the depths?
Yes.
Plumb me for like meanings for things I do, especially in therapy, and most of my motivations boil down to, I don't know, I just made an impulsive decision, or like I wanted to be like, hey.
But what is hey? Like, what does that mean?
You know, like when you're like, hey, when someone, you do something, you get to go, hey.
No.
Oh, you haven't lived.
I don't know, what do you mean?
You haven't lived, man.
I can understand there not being any like deep psychological. I honestly, I'm not your therapist right now.
Thank God.
Trying to understand for me. I love you deeply. I don't give a shit of your like what your emotional thought processes right now. I just want to know logically what's going through what do you want to get out of jumping into your father's and step siblings or step half siblings lives. Like,
I know, he goes like, oh shit, like a that's really all I got. I mean, I guess having siblings would be nice, but primarily the initial motivation was to be like, oh shit. Hey.
So best case scenario, you want a relationship with your siblings. I know you don't super you don't super care about what like him in your life.
Yeah.
But like and if these people, like, I'm thinking of it from, if my father, I'll be 28 next in this month, October. If a 32-year-old, that's roughly the age difference between the eldest boy and you, give or take. Okay. If a 32-year-old man came into our lives and my dad said, I swear to you, I didn't know.
36-year-old.
Either 36-year-old man comes into our lives and my father says, I promise all of you, I did not know. I probably would believe him. And it might just be because my father has a certain personality type that, like, he has
a lot of trust but in, like, other people's relationships.
But no, I'm assuming, well, that's what humans do, is they, like, assuming we are the baseline average, which that's the flaw of humanity, is we can only see through our own eyes. But assuming we are the baseline average, like, in this situation, if a 36-year-old man like entered our world and was like, hey, Harry Poole, you you're my dad. And I now have a 36-year-old half-brother. All my dad has to do to talk to my mother and to us is swear he didn't know. We will believe him. Assuming that these children and spouse have the same relationship with him, all he, like... You mentioned, I know you don't want the marriage to fall apart, but you mentioned that, like, that's inevitable. But, like,
I never said it was inevitable. I said it was a possibility.
You said it was the natural likely. Consequences.
Yeah, it's a natural that there'd be relationship problems, not that it would fall apart. That causes when like a man says, hey, I'm your ding dong, I'm your bastard son, you held me. That causes strain in a relationship.
Oh, wait. He was around for you?
He held me.
I thought, the way you always tell the story, he left when your mom was pregnant.
No.
He was there when you were born?
Not sure he's there when I was born. Well, I know because my mom recently was telling me that she left a voicemail like, hey, there are consequences, and he didn't reply. And then she's like, fucking acknowledge your son, and then he showed up for a bit, and then he's like, I don't want to raise a kid, and left. No, he held me. My mom says I got my anger issues from him because he was holding me once, and there's some other kids around or something related to him in some fashion.
Okay.
And they're throwing something around, it almost hit me, and he like blew up on them. No, okay. This man has held me.
Oh.
I was in his arms.
Okay, well, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you knew that. So, yeah.
No, the way you always told the story, he left your mom when she was pregnant. Like,
I thought I said like 2 or 3.
No. You didn't say he was a part of your life for 2 years. Like,
or maybe a year. Like, he's held me. I don't know how long he's around. He held me.
Insane. Okay.
He's aware I exist.
That makes the story so much worse.
Yeah, he's aware.
He was already a piece of shit for leaving a pregnant woman, but like, you can not emotionally, but logically, I can understand turning off emotion, being in that headspace, holding a child and leaving that child. You're a fucking scumbag.
See, I'm the opposite, because a pregnant woman, you're like, well, I should at least like see what comes out, but like the other baby, like, nah. When you see it, you know, that makes more sense to me.
No, logically, taking emotions out of it, you not wanting to deal with the consequences of your actions makes way more sense than seeing the consequences of your actions and then deciding you're going to have someone else deal with
them. I always kind of view this and being like, I'll give it a try, then being like, nah, never mind. I'm not vibing with this. I'm not feeling this. Not for me.
Jesus
Christ. Try again in 6 years.
Never mind. I still think he would lie. Like, if he lied, there would be, it's, there would,
I think,
trust
the Catholic
whatever,
guilt,
like,
would, I think in that moment, the Catholic guilt would consume him.
Is this man a staunch Catholic?
He was raised staunchly Catholic. He went to a all boys Catholic school. And when you're raised that, it doesn't matter if you still believe in God. You still have that inborn guilt.
Many people do, yes. Yeah, yeah. Some people do get over it.
Maybe like Orthodox.
No, I understand. Like, you and I were raised deeply in this thing. You Catholic, me Protestant. But like, we're raised deeply in this thing that even if we don't believe in God as a figure, we like have that internalized self-loathing and guilt. But like, so many people have been able to move on in life.
I'm not sure about, like, you have to be like a part of a weird schism of, like, if you're raised like proper Roman Catholic, you're just raised deep in it by default, because the very, like, just being Roman Catholic means you're going to the prayer school every day, every week.
Yeah,
you're going through the sacraments. It is ingrained in you from an early birth. Like, I can see with like from a Protestant, yeah, there's a lot more leeway in how deep people get in different things. And it's often like based on family. Like, some families will be a lot loosey-goosier with it than others. But like, I've never met someone who's raised like Roman Catholic who isn't deeply affected to it by this day.
I know a handful. Like, I know a handful of them that, like, the Catholicism just didn't stick.
I don't think they ever believed then. It's my hot take. I mean, to be fair, I've gotten to the point where I can take other issues I have and place those. I can use this to push the guilt away. Like, when I was wrestling with this, do I have the right? Eventually, it just clicked out. Of course I have the fucking right. I have the only right. Why was I ever questioning it that I did it? Because any point I have guilt, I can always get to a point where I can be like, this is below me. and move on from it. Or if I go to sleep. If I go to sleep, I'm completely... I never carry anything over from going to sleep. Like, I can be stressed. On the very rare occasions I'm anxious about something, I go to sleep, wake up, fine, gone. Never worry about it again.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you. I don't have that.
I'm happy for you. Know, when I found out, a lot of people don't.
Yeah. But
most people carry things with them for like a long time. And I'm like, oh, does you take? Sometimes a nap will kill it. I wake up like, why was I worrying about that? Yeah.
You really are a very simple man. Not in like a mean way. You're just a very...
I say it all the time. I'm a simple man.
No, I
get
it.
I like big women. I like mirrors. I'm just I am, you know? I just am.
You know, most people... And I understand it's the narcissism. You said in the Saturday night episode, I think I left this in, that like there's not as many layers of thinking when playing narcissists. Like there really is one, maybe two layers of thought in your actions.
That's, yeah. I just am, you know?
It's crazy.
People are like, why do you do that? I'm like, because that's what I do. That's what I would do. You, all these people, everyone else in my life takes so long to make all these big life-changing decisions. And I'm like sitting in a pottery class like, I'm going to drop out of college. I'm bored with it. That's my thought process. I was working on it. I was working on some pottery. And I was like, bored with college. I'm going to drop out after this. And so after class was done, I went home and dropped out of all my classes. And said, well, let's see what happens next. And I was like, I guess I'll take this job. I did that. And here I am. It works. Everyone's like, you need to plan your life out. See, struggling a lot more than me, the simple idiot, the fool. I got my little dog, my little bindle. I'm stepping off a cliff, seeing where I go.
I don't the thing I don't understand. I understand not really having a plan and like going with the flow. I don't understand the like instantaneous life decisions, like drastic life decisions that could end horribly, that you just do.
Whatever feel in the moment. Like again, when I was saying I was like agonizing over this decision, I mean I thought about it for like 3 hours while playing a video game. that is probably the most I've spent on a decision in recent memory.
I agree with you that I think that there are like currents in the world. Anyway, I agree with you that actively fighting against and like sticking to a plan when it is actively not working is bad and does lead to people hating life. But I also don't understand just quitting your job or dropping out of college for funsies.
Now you're just there and suddenly you're like, I should do this.
No. I can't drop. I mean, I'm not in college. I can't quit my job right now because I have a person relying on me for health insurance. So as soon as I can find something else that gives comparable health insurance, then I can go from there, at least for the time being, until like I can do stand up full time and then we can figure out state stuff. But like for right now, I need to be working where I'm at for the health insurance. I can't just willy-nilly quit.
I mean, I quit a job and then like went home and was like, well, time to figure out how to pay rent.
Yeah. There's another person relying on me.
I don't have
and
the
two
money
other
for that.
Living things relying on me. I can't just do that. That is a thing that I'm very interested to see if and when you find someone, how that changes. Because like, there's another person whose decisions your decisions now impact.
Well, I'm pretty loud about my decision. So I imagine I'll say something like, I'm going to quit my job. And they'll say, don't do that. And I'll be like, okay. And then I'll just move on.
Okay.
I'm just as easily influenced by people saying, don't do that. And I go, okay. I'm not an onion. There's a lot of people who are like, ooh, you can never predict what Matthew's going to... It'd be very easy to flowchart me.
See, it's easy to flowchart you. It's not really easy to pick when.
That's like, true, yeah.
That's what... At least when I think it's hard to predict what you're doing, is like, no, like... I'll take Sheets and Kent State. I knew you were quitting both of those jobs well before you had, outwardly expressed it. But I didn't know, like... when the moment was gonna be.
Because yeah, she really was just like worst fucking night. It's fucking rushed to like 4 a.m.
Yep.
It was like bad. Full rush till 4 a.m. We didn't have that like with that low of a thing before on like a truck night. And the manager walked in and was like, the soda machine looks a little dirty. I'm like, that's my decision I'm making right now. I'm just a little funny guy doing japes and making incredibly large, long impacting decisions on a whim. I have two life plans right now. You want to hear them?
Sure.
Finish my script, get it to a stage.
Sure.
Buy new chairs for the apartment. Those are the only things I have planned. If you ask me, like, what's your plans for the next year? They're my work review. They're like, what are your long-term goals at work? I'm like, I don't really got any. Like, any ones in your personal life? And I'm like, no, not really, no. And then there's like pause, and they're like, okay. My only real career goals are be able to wake up at noon. And like outside that, that's even like a plan. That's just a wish. I don't have any. I'm not working towards it anyway. I mean, I guess I'm writing the script, but we're just gonna see what happens there. I don't have any plans, or I don't think about what's gonna happen with it too much. And I was like, oh, we'll finish it. We'll throw it out there. See what happens.
Okay.
I'm a fisherman. You know.
But okay. I guess it makes sense you not working towards any goals when you have no goals.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that makes sense. I just don't understand not having life goals.
I have like vague things. I'm like, it might be nice to move to Lakewood. Maybe not though. Just considerations either way. Like, if this play thing takes off, you know, it'd be cool to be a playwright, I guess. That'd be kind of fun. That's about the tone I have with anything. That's the tone that comes closest to having a goal. Is like, oh, that could be kind of fun.
It's so frustrating that you've gotten as far in life as you have and are as successful as you are.
Why?
Because you didn't work for any of it. You didn't want any of it. You just got it.
Well, see, what's happening here, right, is you're out there. You're out there hunting deer, right? It's a metaphor for dreams and success, right? The deer is an actual deer. I'm not saying
I got it.
Okay, but they're out there, and you're like running around. You're tracking them. You're like building weapons.
Yes.
And you spend all this time and energy, and you have these highs and these lows of your great deer hunt, right?
Yes.
I'm sitting in a bush, and every so often a deer comes and like eats from the bush, and I clonk it on the head with a rock.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm the living embodiment of the art of war. You know, I let it come to me. It is a foolish young man who goes to his enemy. The wise man lets his enemy come to him.
But that's not that is not the same thing as having a goal and
doing. Seems to be working.
No, I'm glad it's working for you. I'm jealous it's working for you. I'm glad it's working for you. I'm so annoyed at you right now. I'm so annoyed at you.
I got a raise.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I love you. Fuck you.
You know who I say fuck you towards? We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah?
Jane Goodall.
Oh my God. Why? I know.
Well, because she just passed.
Uh-huh.
And she did a lot of great work for apes.
Yes.
But she was 100% fucking them. And no one on earth can convince me otherwise.
I just think we would have heard about it by now.
Look how many things we don't hear about for decades. MK Ultra, Epstein, Diddy.
That's the government. First off, we've known about Diddy forever. We just did nothing. There's Chappelle show sketches
how
about
many
like,
eyes
R. Kelly
are,
and
like,
Diddy.
You gotta think about how many eyes are on her. She's the person who cares about apes the most. There's no watchdog. There's no one out there. You can get all kinds of things done secretly.
I just think it in the midst of all of the stuff that has come out about a bunch of famous people, someone would have said, oh, by
but
the
that's
way.
Like, that's because there's like these communities. She goes out by herself, hangs with these monkeys and apes.
She has professionals with her. She's not alone.
They're probably fucking the monkeys too.
Okay.
When everyone's fucking monkeys, no one's gonna say, oh, Jane Goodall is fucking monkeys, because then you're like, how do you know? And you're like, well, I was on the other end spit roasting that bastard.
Okay. No.
And now you're both going to monkey jail.
No.
Donkey Kong judged you guilty. You go to monkey jail. They put you in barrels.
I hope you're wrong. I need you to be wrong. I don't know why, but I think because there's so few, and I don't know enough about Jane Goodall to know if she did like some heinous shit.
She's kind of mysterious, isn't she? But, what do you know about her? She hangs out with monkeys a lot.
and she does like, but she worked with like zoos and research centers and like.
I'm not saying she's fucking every monkey. She's not going to a zoo and be like, I'm gonna fuck the monkey in the zoo. She's fucking the monkeys out in the research wilds. You know, we're just her and the monkeys, her and those big strong apes. It's weird too because they have really small dicks.
I didn't need to know that. I didn't need.
Yeah, gorillas are really proportionate.
I didn't. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know.
No, it's really interesting because like it's the same with like tits. We're like humans have grotesquely large dicks and tits for our size amongst the primates because as a very social species, we've evolved more for the presentation. That's a little evolutionary fact for you. Is that the reason why our dicks are so huge compared to other great apes? Is because as a very community-based species, even more so than other great apes, there was a evolutionary advantage to hang and dong.
Were you just real horny one day and looked this up? Or like, how did you learn this?
I just go in holes, tangents sometimes.
Okay.
Like once I was reading the entire history of garlic. Because like, where does garlic come from? So I just reading about garlic for like 3 hours.
And you were just like, why do big tits and dicks exist?
I was probably like, I've never seen a gorilla dick. Why isn't a gorilla hanging dong?
What would possess you to follow through with that?
I was probably watching a video of a gorilla, like spinning or doing some silly thing. I like to watch a lot of videos of monkeys and apes doing funny stuff. And I was like, how come I can't see his dick? See a lot of other animals' dicks. Why not a gorilla's? And then I was probably like, I can't see a gorilla. Why do you never see gorilla dicks? And like, they're very small for primates. And then I'm like, why are humans big? And then I eventually found like evolutionary paper, probably. I just know a lot of stuff. Cow's always erect. And then it just slides in.
Huh.
I just collect random knowledge. Because you never know when you might need to know about. You say this, but like I'm gonna make bank when I'm called when I write my book after being the star witness of the postmortem Jane Goodall.
Wait, no, you wouldn't be the witness.
Star expert.
You didn't see it.
When they call like this is the guy that understands how gloves fit hands.
Okay, but I'm sure they would pick an evolutionary biologist or someone who worked with Goodall. I don't think they would pick you.
I think now that she's dead, I'm the world's leading expert on monkeys.
I don't think that at all.
I know a lot about my mom's favorite animal is monkeys, so from an early age, I was conditioned to learn about monkeys and watch monkeys.
But I don't think...
When I was 10, I saw a monkey jacking off.
Okay. I'm done.
Drew it in crayon.
That's okay.
He just had questions. He's at the zoo and he's just fucking cranking his hog. It's a foundational memory. It's one of the earliest memories I have.
You were how old?
Oh, man. Lil. That's a load-bearing memory.
What does it care? What is resting on the memory of the monkey jacking off?
I don't know, my knowledge of arithmetic, probably.
How? Were you counting the strokes?
Like- No, I just think that my brain was forming, and that form is like a core part of it. It's not like you know how there's that one cell of that one woman that they get like a bunch of medicine and or they use for testing?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that where it's something that's been drawn on a lot for a lot. That's why it's foundational. It's truly just like a psychically structural.
Oh, you part. Just like bring it up all the time?
No, it's just low bearing. It's just an early memory. If memories are like layers upon layers of like thought, you know, it's a through line. It's a supporting beam. It holds up the roof.
Okay. So you think you know the most about monkeys? No, 100.
I know the most about monkeys now that Jane Goodall, that monkey fucker Jane Goodall's dead. I now reign supreme. Once again, I'm number one in another category. It's just a matter of time before I'm number one in more categories. I just have to wait for that. I'm like number two in a lot of things. And I'm just waiting for the number one
like
to die.
Like what?
Well, monkeys.
No, I okay. You know what? I don't care enough to argue that point with you anymore. What do you think your number two is?
Appreciation for Ben Heer's Dolls series of sculptures.
Okay.
The true nature of God. I become number one every time the Pope dies, and then when there's a new Pope, I become number two again because you can actually talk to him.
So you think you know more about the true nature of God than the people who vote on the Pope?
Yeah.
Then why aren't you the Pope?
I could be.
You.
I mean, traditionally, it's been very hard to get an American. An American millennial? Perish the thought.
But if you know the most, then obviously you should just be
the Pope. And you're right. Elections are made on who's the best suited for the job. Grow up. No, I think that when there's no Pope, if there is like a divine Catholic emergency, they should come to me to determine something.
They're not. Okay.
It's a flawed institution. Like, famously. So, I think I'd turn it down, honestly, if I was offered it.
So your offer... You are basically offered, among humans, the highest echelon of human you can be. And you would turn that down.
I don't need a title to be the top. I know I'm number one.
I'm done. So, you picked the movie this week.
I did. I picked, they changed the name like 3 times. It was released as Immortality. It's like Immortality parentheses of the Wisdom of Crocodiles.
But the credits in the movie is Wisdom of the Crocodiles. But it's credited everywhere as The Wisdom of Crocodiles.
And it was released as Immortality, and sometimes it's Immortality parentheses, one of those wisdom phrases.
So, yeah. So this movie was... not fun to find. I looked it up and it was, I could find it legally available to rent a few places. I didn't want to spend money on it because I don't get paid till the end of the week. And I just didn't want to spend money I didn't really have. So I was trying to find legal ways to stream it. It was on none of the major platforms. It was on none of the random free like Tubi stuff. But I could find it through my library app under Immortality. I kept looking at The Wisdom of Crocodiles, but I found it under a different name in my library app.
It's a complicated movie.
It's not.
It's a little hidden treasure.
So, okay, so, I don't know. Cat out of the bag. I think this movie's fine.
That's a higher rating than I would give it.
It's not great. Wait, you said it was a hidden gem, and you don't think it's even fine?
I don't think it's a hidden gem because it's good. I think it's a hidden gem because it's wild. There's vampire kidney stones. There's a gang from Tim Burton's Batman. Timothy Spall
playing the most Catholic, least Catholic man ever.
A Catholic.
who makes sure to sit down with Jude Law to tell him he was no longer a suspect. And Jude Law thinks that he's fucking with him. And then Timothy Spall's like, that's a bit subtle for me, but that's a good strategy. I might use that in the future. So, okay. So Jude Law's a vampire.
Of some variety.
He's some kind of vampire. We don't ever see the teeth. Arguably
the only vampire thing he does is drink blood, which you might think that's enough to be a vampire, and I would argue no, you need some other stuff to be a vampire. But I can just drink someone's blood,
but he can't. Yes, the thing is, he doesn't just drink blood, he has to make the person, presumably woman, love him first.
Yeah, or kidney stones.
Or kidney stones.
And then he keeps them in a box.
And he could tell what the thing that they were feeling against him was based on how the kidney stone feels.
Yeah, how it looks, I guess.
So there was like despair and disappointment. And
he keeps them in a little box.
But he can't eat Carrie Fox for some reason.
He fell in love.
But they didn't really even like...
My Chemical Romance wrote a song about this. Could you eat Geneva?
I didn't.
Could you eat Geneva?
I'm not a vampire. No.
This is a lot of hesitation.
I know. I'm just like, I'm not a vampire. This isn't even a thing I need to consider.
You never know what tomorrow will bring.
I do.
If you become a vampire tomorrow, could you eat Geneva? Or the other option is you die.
I would probably die.
Then you know how Jude Law feels in this
movie. I don't. Because at no point is he portraying that he cares about her really at all. Like,
he's just aloof. He's simping.
He's like fake simping the entire time. Then gets annoyed, but you think it's like it's a manipulation tactic, but it might be, but it's not. Also, Timothy Spall thinks that he murdered 2 people, which he did murder two people, but Timothy Spall doesn't
know
that.
He's murdered many people.
But the two people that we know of, a woman died in a car crash in a tree.
He sketches.
And he does sketches. This movie isn't great. It's very pretty. It has some really pretty shots.
He goes Batman on a bunch of Tim Burton gang members.
In a really poorly choreographed fight scene.
And gets back Timothy Spall's crucifix.
That's a type of fight scene that I would choreograph because I don't know how to choreograph action fights. He does get to
the spot. That's what gangs look like in England.
I guess this is, I mean, this has to be in Britain, right?
I'm guessing, and that's what gangs look like. Colorful, weird, wacky.
Straight out of a comic book.
Nothing else in this movie is. The movie's very somber, I'd argue, except for those characters.
They're like Clockwork Orangey.
They're very Clockwork Orangey. They're Clockwork Orangey meets, like, we're the Joker's goons.
I want to like this movie. I do like this movie. I want to like it more. I'm a little annoyed that you suggested it and then gave me no warning that it's actually pretty boring.
I think this is a movie, it's best experience going in blind.
I disagree.
You just tell someone you want to watch a vampire movie, this is a good vampire movie, and they let them go.
It is not a good vampire movie.
Much like how he needs to feed off love, I feed off the slowly dying satisfaction of entering something thinking it's a good vampire movie, and then he passes a kidney stone, and that's like, ooh. Time to put in a special little box.
Also, his kidney stones look like jewel needles.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Jude Law's a vampire. He's noted
famous actor Jude Law.
Yeah, he plays...
Prestigious, some would say.
He plays a character named Stephen Grills, spelled GRLSCZ, no vowels. It's Bulgarian.
Yeah, because he's a vampire.
And he has to make women fall in love with him so he can suck their blood. Because if he makes a woman fall in love with him truly, madly, deeply, uncomplicated... like whole fully he's cured of his vampirism, but that also means the person who loved him the most and the truest is dead.
Yeah,
we don't know how he became a vampire. We don't know if this is transferable or if he's the only one, or
another vampire fed them one of their kidney stones.
So this movie has a lot of questions. Timothy Spall is a cop who is hunting Jude Law.
It doesn't seem very interested in exploring vampires as a concept.
Then why even have the vampires?
Because it's a vampire movie.
But if you're not interested in exploring vampirism, why make a movie about vampires?
Because you want to make a vampire movie with Jude Law.
But then you should want to talk about vampirism.
You're right. Sinners says, like, give some backstory how the vampires came to be. Famously, my favorite vampire movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula. You find out that you become a vampire by yelling at God really loudly.
Nice.
After fighting wars for him and being Gary Oldman. But yeah, in this movie, there's a vampire. He passes kidney stones.
They dump all of the lore at you the thing I like least about this movie is not the fact that it has no momentum in that it crawls for 100 minutes.
It's a slice of life.
It's the fact that it's definitionally, it's a tell don't show movie. And it's so uninteresting to watch. At no point does it feel like I learn anything through the movie. They're telling me everything.
But isn't he so broody?
In fact, when they try to have emotion, when he hugs her and tries to be all romantic, and she snaps at him and then apologizes, but he's still moody about it, I don't know if they want that to feel manipulative, or if they want that to feel like he was genuinely hurt, or if it was a manipulation tactic and then he was genuinely hurt. At no point is he properly portraying any real emotion.
But, you know, unanswered questions create interest.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes, not universally, sometimes unanswered questions breeds annoyance.
You gotta remember, whatever you are gonna write, the audience has a better version in their head. And someone read that.
That doesn't mean...
Someone read that and then made this movie.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean give them nothing.
The only...
It's the blankest canvas.
Gave the gang, because he knew he figured out the perfect gang. The viewer was never going to imagine a better gang than this gang. Make that,
that
very clear.
In an entirely different movie. They're not... They're a Clockwork Orange Batman villain.
They walked in from a different set.
That kind of is what it feels like. That they just like plopped in from a different movie set from Kevin Smith's Dogma.
Because at one point they're like, we need to show that vampires are physically capable. I mean, you couldn't fight off a whole gang.
Also, this is the most annoying type of movie to talk about because it's so blank. There's nothing you could like it kind of the developing relationship between Steven and Timothy Spall. I forget his name.
You just refer to him as Timothy Spall.
Between Jude Law and Timothy Spall. Like, kind of. And when he stops by the toll booth and then sees the toll booth guy in the police station, and he's supposed to think, Timothy Spall thinks he's going to like panic for half a second, and he just acts cool. I think it wants me to feel like that he's one step ahead of him the entire time.
Yeah, he is.
But he's not really. He just has magic eyes that like...
Well, vampire eyes.
Yeah, he has vampire eyes, but it's not really explained. They don't even really change. He just stares at you.
Yeah, he's using his vampire. What, you think a vampire's power is going to shoot lasers out of their eyes? That'd be pretty conspicuous.
No, but I think there should be minute change that only the person looking at them can see. Or some like...
No, he's using his psychic vampire powers.
So he's not even one step ahead. He's just all powerful until he doesn't eat for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which, like, longer, a couple months.
Well, that's
but also,
most
if I didn't eat
that's
for
most
a couple
people,
months,
yeah.
Like, just...
So really, it's, I mean, if anything, they can go longer without eating. They're always about like the hunger of a vampire. The vampire is objectively less hungry than the average man.
And how she...
If I miss lunch, I start to get grumbly.
And how she takes care of him after he tried to eat her. Couldn't eat her because he was in love with her,
yeah.
And he would miss her, but then tries to eat her, tries to set up eating her again. Like,
and Timothy Spall never catches him.
No, Timothy Spall, in fact, literally pulls him as like has a little sit down coffee date where they then walk through a graveyard where it's like,
well, it's a thinking film. You're looking for a lot of like flashy MCU action. This is a thinking philosophy movie,
but it's...
where they talk about like mammal brains and crocodile brains, and you talk in a graveyard,
but
that,
it's
like,
not
good and evil?
It wants, yeah, it's this movie feels like I'm 14 and this is deep.
Well, jokes on you, you're like 27 and it's deep.
It's not that deep.
It's really deep.
It's not that deep. Timothy Spall is the best part of this movie.
What brains do you use, you know?
Even after he saves him the first time and he gives him the tea and like stitches him up, and the cop is like, I'm still gonna hunt after you. I still think you murdered those two women. You don't need to say that. That's an inside thought that you portray through your actions. You don't just straight up like...
Well, it's cat and mouse.
You don't tell me.
If it's cat and mouse, you do. You can have cat and mouse secretly. You know, you gotta have the moments where you're showing each other your hands and stuff, like in Catch Me If You Can. You know,
but Catch Me If You Can has some subtlety.
It's a movie Spielberg. About fraud.
It's Spielberg. It's not the most. He's not the most subtle director in the world.
It's a movie about fraud. He's in disguises.
So, but you can't. You
also. I would argue. One thing this movie does not lack is subtlety.
I agree. So when you play poker.
Never done so.
Okay. Well, when you play poker, you don't show both of your cards and then have the river, but still bluff.
What the fuck's the river?
The five cards they put in the three cards, bet one card.
I'm realizing I know even less about poker than I thought I knew.
The five cards in the middle that you then judge your two cards based off of.
You judge cards based off what's in the middle?
Yeah. Like,
I thought you just try to get the best hand.
Are you serious right now? Okay, so
poker. See, my entire life I thought if I just learned how the hands work, I could play poker. But apparently there's an entirely another, there's a river, there's like judging, there's an entirely different rule system. I was unaware.
So you get two cards.
Yes.
You then, based on your two cards, decide whether you want to bet or fold. What do you think happens next?
I think you get another card.
No, there's the middle, everyone's card. So they flip up three cards in the river, everyone can use those cards.
I just kind of assumed you get cards, and then you lie about whether or not the cards you have are good or not.
I mean, it's so much more complicated than that. But okay, so...
Like you have two cards, and you're like, this is half of a royal flush. And so you bet, and then you get another card, and you're like,
no.
Oh, it's no longer going to be a royal flush. Got to pretend like it is, though.
No. No, you have two cards that they can't see.
Yeah.
And then there's three cards. You bet based on those three cards. Then they flip one card. Then you bet or fold based on the one card, and then they flip up the fifth
but
card.
How does the middle cards affect what's in your hand?
If you say you have a king, queen,
yeah,
and then in the middle
half a royal flush,
yes, is an ace, jack, ten. You now have a straight or a royal flush based on the suit.
So do you put those cards in your hand?
No. Everyone uses the river.
Oh, so those are part of everyone's hand.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the river is a part of everyone's.
So it is whatever cards in your hand are better or not. Just some of the cards everyone's using.
Yes.
Okay.
But you don't play with your two cards flipped up and then still try and bluff.
Man, when you die, I'm gonna be the number one poker guy. I'm real excited for that.
You don't bluff when they can see your cards.
You're good. If you have magic eyes.
That's the thing.
Bluffing like I have a great hand. Is a two and jack anything together?
If they're the same suit. And
not. I have two and a jack of a different suit. And those suits are shared in the middle, right? I put these down. I say, I'm going all in. Then I stare at you really hard. And then you're like, fuck, he's got a great hand.
No, but if you see the hand.
I'm staring at you with my magic eyes. And now you're like, fuck, he's got a great hand.
So this movie fails.
Yeah.
This movie fails telling any form of forwardly moving story that has any form of suspense.
It's a slice of life.
But it's not. You're supposed to feel suspense in
people,
the cat
people
mouse.
Like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I need suspense and action in my life, but most of life is pretty just kind of day-to-day dull, and if you don't accept that, you're not going to be happy. This movie's a lesson.
But most of the time, you're not being investigated for double murder. Well, two single
murders. Investigations are really slow.
That's
especially when there's like no physical evidence and you don't know the people.
Then you're also falling in love with another. There's so many story parts going on that each alone, if they chose to focus and give it any emotion and forward momentum, could have been an okay story. The idea of the vampire falling in love and realizing that he can't kill his victim, but he has to kill his victim, and the cat and mouse of the police officer and the murderer, even if you, they actually don't feel like different
movies
because this movie doesn't have a tone.
Do you want to see that in one movie? Can I recommend Immortality or The Wisdom of Crocodiles?
But I don't. I want to see.
It's got cat and mouse. It's got a vampire falling in love.
I want it to feel suspenseful or like there's any emotion going on at all. I want to feel.
Timothy Spall's pretty suspicious. That's an emotion. Suspicion.
So this movie. This movie's something.
Movie rocks.
But you even said
you should all watch this movie and then tell all your friends to watch.
Do not watch. Actually, I'm not going to tell you not to watch this movie. You're an adult. This truly is a do what you want.
If I could get a million people to watch this movie, I'd feel that to be a great accomplishment in my life.
Why would you want to put any effort into that?
It's not a ton of effort. It's like, do you like vampire movies? Have you seen Immortality or The Wisdom of Crocodiles? It's got a cat and mouse in it, too. It's a cat and mouse kind of murder
thing.
But
it doesn't have it done
and is it like
in any way kind of a feels like it's worth watching.
It's a horror romance, you know?
But it's neither scary nor romantic.
It's like a Valentine's Day movie.
It's not romantic.
Are you seeing a goth? You should watch this for Valentine's Day. You will get some. You show a goth this movie in Halloween. You're either going to give a dickin' or get a dickin'.
So,
or a tribbin. Or a frottage.
Do you have any intelligent thoughts about this movie?
If you like nice kind of gothic horror romances, what is the intelligent mind versus the primal mind?
But it doesn't do that.
And if you want like a little cop thriller in there too,
it does do that.
I think this is an excellent movie. I think it's an excellent first date movie. Because you can be so hot and heavy after this. Especially with any movie with Timothy Spall. He's a certain primal sexuality about him.
Here's the thing. I'm not mocking Timothy Spall. What about him is exactly primally sexual?
He said that like raw primal sexuality of the British man, the British male. That's the sexuality that built an empire where the sun
more
never set.
More than Jude Law?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell if you believe this
or not. Timothy Spall's got a better hog than Jude Law.
I have seen neither of them. You don't. They do show Jude Law naked in this movie. You don't really see anything.
I'm going record. 100% going in on this. I'm going all in on this hand. Jude Law's dick probably looks better, but Timothy Spall's dick's a better experience. 100%.
I think it's weird that you're even thinking that.
I have an opinion on everything.
You don't need an opinion on everything.
I could do a show where people just send me questions for me to have opinions on. I could do 50 questions a day, and that show would run till I die.
You don't need an opinion on everything.
I don't need it, but I have one. It's not like I'm going to the opinion mine, Ford, mining the opinions, and going to the smeltery and burning up the impurities and hammering and squelching my opinion to a fine sword for Hungarian boy to take into war against the Cossacks. All right, I just hit theirs in me. There's in me. They're part of me. They're in my soul. An opinion on every possible topic. I don't think with these. They just come out. Yes, but the opinion just comes out.
Do you have any final thoughts?
I just gave my final thoughts.
Okay.
That was me answering your question of final thoughts.
Your final thoughts is you think that Timothy Spall has a more functional.
Not the functional, it is a better feeling experience. I think you want to look at Jude Law's dick, but you want to take Timothy Spall's.
Honestly. I'm going to leave it at that. Do you want to do socials?
You're to put Timothy Spall's dick on Jude Law? That's like the ultimate sexual man.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah. So I was hoping you'd agree with me there, but
I'm just... What do you want me to say? I don't have a thought.
I want you to agree with me.
No, I don't agree with
you.
I want you to clap
and say, you're right, man. You're right.
You're not getting it. I don't agree with you. I don't disagree with you. I have no thoughts on Timothy Spall's dick that I haven't seen, like, or experienced, or have known anyone who has seen or experienced.
Yeah, you got to have faith.
No, you shouldn't just have, okay.
If you want to email us, This week we'll be accepting Harrison X. Timothy Spall and Harrison X. Jude Law. And we will
no, count. These are real people. No, do not give X Reader for real people.
We will
you
count.
You even said do not that you don't want X Reader from real people.
Well, this isn't X Reader. This is just shipping two real life people.
I don't want
There's
that.
There's no reader. I just want an actual
I don't want
straight
that.
Up.
I don't want that.
And whatever gets the most submissions is the better lover. So, like, if you think Jude Law is hotter than Timothy Spall, start writing right now. You're going to need it, because we're going to be drowning in Timothy Spalls, because I trust our viewers.
This movie's okay.
Two Men Movie Podcast.
I'm just
going to
end it on that. This
Two Men Movie
okay.
Podcast at gmail.com for that, to send us Timothy Spall, X Harrison readers. You can find us at Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram, where we post stuff. You can also find our show description there in our little posts, and you can go to our store, get... Marvin the Movie Walrus shirt, who I am currently in the talks of getting Timothy Spall to portray in a commercial for us. If you want to find me, Midwest_Magician, you can just DM me pictures of your sex kidney stones if you want. Can't stop you.
You can find me on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and Lemonade at harrisonpool.com, HarrisonPooledotcom, harrisonpool.com.
We also have a YouTube. Two Men in a Movie Podcast. You can keep going. You just cut me off if I could finish the socials.
We get no views on the YouTube.
Yeah, because we need to plug it more.
We plug it every episode.
Tell you what, if I'm going to take it that, if this episode gets 15 views, you guys think Jude Law is the better lover. If it gets 1 to 14... Or 16 and up.
No.
Timothy Spall.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works.
So that's how we're going to do that. And that will be ratified by Congress once the shutdown's done.
Or you can find me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. I need a smoke. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for her
You know,
theme.
Some days I feel like I'm doing the Lord's work, and today's one of those days. I was feeling jaunty this morning, and now I know why.
Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for her theme music. Make sure you listen to his bands, Tonight with Vince and Natural Health. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for my vampire movie called Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.